Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for today is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 20. I will not reread it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is possible that Jesus' praising of Simon Peter for confessing that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then at the end of chapter 17 for providing Simon and him with his temple tax. I'll read. Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." These two events, obviously ignoring the whole part where Jesus called him Satan and told him to get behind him, has seemed to have led the disciples to ponder a rather bizarre question. Add to that, whenever James and John asked, or their mother asked, or both, to sit at the right and the left when Jesus enters his kingdom, the disciples seem to be worrying about their position in the inner circle. And so they ask this silly question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is sitting in their midst. And so what Jesus is trying to do is take their focus off of this silliness as he's trying to prepare them for what is to come when they get to Jerusalem, as he set his face towards that direction. And he's trying to teach them that he's going to die, and on the third day he will rise again. He says, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered in the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And in Matthew's gospel, this is now the second time Jesus has told them this, where it doesn't seem to bat an eye with them. Now, Peter's been rebuked, but now the second time, and no one even responds. They're worried about who's the greatest. Oh, how the flesh desires praise and honor. Lord, have mercy on us all. In our text, now Jesus corrects that fleshly desire to receive glory and honor in this life for being a Christian, for being, be that clergy or laity. Humility, not greatness, is the mark of those who enter the kingdom of heaven. As Jesus teaches in the text, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn," and that's not the best translation. The word there is strepho, and it's passive tense. And so it said, it should read, "unless you are turned." Right? It's not them doing it, it's the Holy Spirit doing it. And then you become like children, and again the Greek there, paedion, a young child up to the age of seven at the most, yet still one dependent on caregiving. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The point is that God is the only greatness that matters. Our fleshly nature wants nothing to do with what Jesus is teaching or with his church. Just like Simon Peter last week, who upon hearing what being the Christ entails, attempts to rebuke the Lord for telling the disciples what was about to happen. Oh, how often our minds are on the things of men instead of the things of God. However, no Christian can live by appeasing their sinful nature. All the sinful nature gives you is death. That's all because the law of God has to offer, this is all it has to offer, is the demand for perfection. And we can't achieve it. Our hearts, our feelings, our emotions are sinful and unclean from conception. So Jesus tells us we must become like a child. That is, we must become born anew, born from above. thus the disciples, all Jesus' disciples in this generation and before and after, are directed back to their baptism, where they are claimed and adopted by the Heavenly Father, who provides for all our needs of body and soul. There, the fleshly sinful nature is drowned, and the new child in Christ arises every day as the Word and the Spirit do their work. And no, I know it doesn't appear fair to our sinful flesh, but God doesn't provide everyone the exact same thing. Right? He's not a socialist, a communist, a Marxist, or a capitalist. God just gives his gifts as he pleases. So, yet having been provided for all that we need from our Heavenly Father, the Christian is called to serve their neighbor as believers become the very hands and voice of God for their neighbor who needs our good works. Now, you've heard me say this before, but your closest neighbors are where? They're not next door, they're in your house. And then they go next door and around the world and everywhere else. We have to start at home. And yet this is humbling work as well, as God gets all the credit and we're left with blame when things go awry. You see, when you bring someone to church, take someone a meal, give someone an ear, provide someone a ride, it's God doing it. God is the one providing through you. In the church, Jesus, the good shepherd, tells us, his under-shepherds and his flock, how to grow his church. And it really is simple, at least from our side of it. As God alone provides the increase, so the disciples are simply to go to people, tell of the gospel, instruct, baptize, forgive, feed, serve, marry, bury, comfort, love, and repeat. This is considered insanity to the world, as the world wants to change things up and make it all fresh and acceptable to those of the world. And sad to say, some churches have given in to this worldly acceptable view. They will offer an easier to swallow message, one that removes some of God's word, some of God's order, some of God's blessings, and thus diminishing or completely removing in the end all of God's gospel. The siren song of the flesh is to desire this false peace. With a world, and it's very appealing and tempting, we know it all too well, for we are tempted all the time to make the things of God less important, those things that are eternal, less important than the temporary pleasures of this life. But please hear me, because Ezekiel tells me to. Don't say I didn't warn you. Remember what Jesus said. Well, I like paraphrasing it better. It's more fun. Never trust a pastor or a church that everyone speaks well of. Okay, Jesus put it this way. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. And the Lord warned those churches as well. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Just know this fact, that when you attempt to warn those who have fallen into this temptation, they might become hostile with you. Their reactions will not be, oh, thank you so very much. But know that they're reacting to the truth of God's word, if that's what you're doing. And if that's the case, when they react hostile to that, God help them to repent. In humility, we must keep watch lest we become unintentionally a stumbling block to others. And at that moment, when we have been a stumbling block to others, the weight of our sin will become overwhelming, or as Jesus tells us, like a millstone hung around our necks. At these times, all we can do is go to the brother or sister and seek their forgiveness, following the procedures our Lord has laid out in our gospel today. And as we know, God's forgiveness must be shared. For God's forgiveness is not only with me, but with my neighbors also. The Christian then has the privilege to bring the good news of Jesus' life, suffering, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of all who believe. In doing this, the Christian has the call to be faithful, which is the only way to be successful as a child of God. The Christian can't help but desire to bring the gospel to all the Lord's lost sheep, because it will burn on your heart, offering them the gifts of God so that they may become like all of God's people, his little children, and thus declared by Jesus the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, as they, like us, are given eternal life and will come to be with all of God's children in the unending celebration of the marriage feast that knows no end. Through faith, then, today, let us confess our sins and humbly stand before our Heavenly Father as His dear children, washed and adopted in the waters of holy baptism, clothed with His righteousness, and welcomed and fed at His table. For our sins and our neighbor's sins are forgiven by the same blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who promises whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.